So in a recent episode, we discussed the basic building block of reality, the basic building block that makes up all elementary particles. And that component that is the basic building block of everything, as I've stated, is the wave. Waves of energy, more specifically. The amplitude, frequency, and wavelength of tiny sub-quantum energy in motion, because all energy in motion moves in waves. All waves are energy in motion, and all energy in motion moves in waves. What we have then is at the core foundation, no single smallest particle of matter or smallest measurement of energy. Energy, even though we have a relative quantized, packetized component of energy, that is not the smallest amount of energy, the smallest measurement of energy, because it is infinitely divisible, as is mass, infinitely divisible, no different than space and time, infinitely divisible. No largest measurement or smallest measurement of space, time, mass, or energy. If we can accept that premise, it solves many of the paradoxes and inconsistencies found in every other possible option. It sounds crazy, but infinite regression is in fact the only solution that is paradox-free, inconsistency-free. Meaning there is no paradoxes and no inconsistencies if you start with the premise of infinite regression, no smallest component of mass, energy, space, or time. Any other explanation that attempts to explain reality and define our universe, in fact, will have a paradox or an inconsistency or multiple paradoxes and multiple inconsistencies. The point, however, is that when we begin to examine the true nature of elementary subparticle physics and quantum fields, there's two choices. One is that quantum fields are magical. They manifest out of nowhere to define how the movement of waves of energy manifest as particles that we can see or measure, when in reality all particles exist as confinements of energy or waves of energy that have slowed down below the speed of light to take on mass, or waves of energy that have taken on mass and slowed down below the speed of light. This is an important part of our theory of a nested succession of parent frames of reference, because each parent frame of reference introduces additional aggregate velocity to all the subchildren and great, 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 great grandchildren, however far you want to go. They'll all see an increase in their relative velocity as it pertains to a increased parent frame of reference. Not every single parent frame of reference introduces increased velocity, because sometimes a parent frame of reference is going in the opposite direction of everything within that frame of reference. And so your movement through space-time to the right could be offset by the movement through space-time to the left of your parent frame of reference three times further evolve, three parent frames of reference above you. I know this is hard to imagine. And so again, bodies, all celestial, all bodies, or cohesive groups of bodies, will attempt to play the childhood game of follow the leader. The most massive or most attractive, if we're talking about magnetic fields, bodies will cause those bodies nearby to orbit them. The laws of physics and orbital mechanics show how a body in motion will cause those bodies nearby that are either gravitationally bound or magnetically bound to, in turn, orbit the most massive body. And they play follow the leader or leaders. There can be more than one sometimes, but in doing so, they create a pocket of space-time where those bodies sharing the same trajectory and same velocity share in the same base perception of space and time that they in turn fine-tune through their own individual velocities and gravitational attractions occurring upon them, against them, within their parent frame of reference, to in turn determine their individual unique perceptions of space and time that they in turn pass on to their children bodies in a never-ending succession. Therefore, there is no smallest piece of matter or energy, but instead the building block of our universe is the wave. It is the amplitude, the frequency, and the wavelength of tiny subquantum and quantum bursts of energy that define our quantum fields, as well as even the light and sound around us. Even the resistance that lets us touch things is all due to vibrations of energy. So then, if our base building block of the universe is the wave, there can be no other basic force that drives reality than a single force. So we seek to unite gravity, electromagnetism, the strong and weak nuclear forces. We've been able, through the grand unification of three of those forces, been able to explain electromagnetism, the strong and weak force, all through related math that shows a common theme or common formula, if you want. You know, a unification of those forces. However, gravity has been the outlier that we have yet to correlate. I suggest or propose we will never be able to quantize gravity, because gravity is an effect of a subquantum realm. Gravity is due to subquantum waves and subquantum interactions and subquantum attractions, specifically electrostatic attractions at the subquantum level. However, that's somewhat theoretical per se, and the further a parent frame of reference is from a great-great-great-grandchild, over time, although not every parent will increase the relative velocity, over time, the total aggregate relative velocity of each child object within a parent frame of reference will continue to increase the farther and farther out you move from the source body to that parent frame of reference. So each successive parent frame of reference, on average, will see an increased relative velocity of those child objects. Not every single parent frame of reference will cause all of its children to see an aggregate increase in relative speed. There are times where some may not. But over the long haul, over multiple successive parent frame of references, there will be a point in space and time, a frame of reference, where every body, every cohesive group of bodies, or every particle, is in fact moving at the speed of light. Our planet is moving at the speed of light relative to some parent frame of reference, millions, if not hundreds of thousands of times removed, maybe just thousands, or even hundreds. Really can't tell because of the expansion of space causing disparate galaxies to move apart from each other at faster than light speeds. It becomes difficult to say with any certainty what it will look like as you continue on to parent frames of reference. These are parent frame of references that are not in question. There is no doubt in my mind that our entire visible cosmic speck of dust we call our visible universe is in fact sharing a parent frame of reference with one or more siblings. And that parent frame of reference is sharing another parent, a higher up parent frame of reference with one or more siblings. It is the natural state of nature and the core nature of space and time to have that occur. There may be random bodies without any nearby neighbors that are influence them gravitationally, and so they may be in a free travel without being in orbit. But eventually, they will pick up in orbit or collide. That's your two choices. You're either going to collide with something or orbit something eventually. But to the point at hand, we've now covered a whole lot of talking without actually getting to the point I wanted to cover. The reason I've stressed the wave nature of reality as the basic building block is for the purpose of explaining the single basic force that drives all other forces. That includes gravity as well as electromagnetism, the electro weak and strong forces, are all governed by a single force. I don't have the math. I do not yet have the math to support my premise. However, my premise, I am 1,000% certain, is accurate. And that premise is that there is no such thing as a wave that is not a mechanical wave. All waves are mechanical waves. That means every wave requires a medium, because all waves are energy in motion, and the energy itself carried by every single wave is in fact due to the amplitude. The amplitude of a wave is directly correlated to the deviation from equilibrium within the medium that the wave is traveling in. That's how energy moves. Energy moves by displacing a medium from its equilibrium state. The amplitude defines the amount of energy, how far it deviates from an equilibrium state. That is true for all waves. The reason we never found the ether, and the reason we believe electromagnetic waves could be non-mechanical waves is because we can't see below the quantum scales. We cannot see the subquantum realm that we have pretty much proven exists. We know it exists, we just have to accept that a subquantum realm exists, because there's so much evidence proving it exists, we just have to wake up and accept the evidence. But when we do, and we see that in fact all waves are energy in motion, and the energy carried by the wave is within the amplitude. Obviously, the frequency comes into play, but the true energy of the wave is within the amplitude, and it is a deviation from an equilibrium state within the medium that carries the wave, that defines its motion, its progress. All waves, including EM radiation, encounter some amount of resistance within all three spatial dimensions. Every movement of energy attempts to move in all dimensions. It spreads out like a sphere. The medium it encounters in all the dimensions defines the resistance that wave will face trying to move through the medium. All waves are mechanical. All waves have a medium. And all waves encounter some amount of resistance within the medium it travels in, and that includes electromagnetic radiation. EM waves can encounter other particles as they pass through, and in doing so, diffract, refract, diffuse, absorb, whatever. Multiple different things can happen to that wave. But when they travel through that pure vacuum, the absolute vacuum of space, which doesn't really exist because there are particles in space, then it will slowly, over time, dissipate. All waves carry their energy in the amplitude. All waves attempt to move in a sphere. They attempt to move outwards spherically. Their forward momentum, how fast they're moving forward, determines how much deviation off of their momentum they are able to, I know subjugate isn't the right word, but it's what comes to mind, their movement through the other dimensions. So as they move forward, left, right, up or down, they at the same time are also trying to move in other dimensions, but their momentum will carry them forward. Where the wave is stationary at a point, it will spread outwards in all directions, just like throwing a rock into a pond. When you throw a rock into a pond from high up, the energy within the medium of the water will cause ripples of waves, and as those waves move, they convert their amplitude into each additional wavelength. Every additional wavelength in that spherical wave is going to need every spherical wave is going to encounter some form of resistance in each dimension, and it is the resistance that determines how much of the amplitude is converted into each additional wavelength. Those waves moving nearly effortlessly through a vacuum, because there is an underlying medium behind it, will spread out based on their forward momentum, but in all directions. Likewise, that rock that you throw into the pond, the one medium is the water, and so waves will ripple through that water and slowly diminish over time as the amplitude converts to each additional wavelength. But at the same time, there are sound waves that will spread out in the air in all directions. Those sound waves also encounter some resistance within the medium of the air that converts their amplitude into each additional wavelength, and they will dissipate over time. There is, in fact, when you throw that rock into that water at the point of contact, there is, in fact, a minor increase in heat. There is friction, which creates heat. And there is actually waves of heat that will expand out. So you have waves of sound, waves on the water, light waves or visible waves of the action happening also again through the air, and even a little bit of heat waves that all extend outwards from that point of initial energy release in all dimensions, and the resistance faced in each dimension determine how many wavelengths will occur before the amplitude is exhausted based on your scientific precision. Many waves continue much further than we visualize them because our scientific precision is limited. But that's not the point. The point is, there is a basic force that drives all other forces. That basic force that drives all other forces is the desire of every medium to return to an equilibrium state. It doesn't matter what the medium is. All waves are energy in motion that are displacing a medium, and all mediums attempt to restore itself back to an equilibrium state. It is that equilibrium state, the lowest energy state, you might call it, that drives all other forces. Again, I don't have the math. I don't have a way to correlate the subquantum gravity waves with the quantum waves of energy. However, there is no doubt in my mind that the single basic force that governs all other forces, the root force across any dimension and any scale factor, no matter how small you go, how large you go, no matter what other forces we encounter, they all derive their ability to work through some form of equilibrium. And that's really all I can say on the matter, because it's, I you know, some people may be unhappy because I claim to have a theory of everything that discusses the basic force that drives everything, and without the math to define it, you know, maybe you're not happy. And I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry if you don't like the fact that my basic building block is the wave and the basic force is equilibrium or return to equilibrium. But it doesn't negate the fact that it is true. Okay? And so, I'm sorry that you may not be happy, but those are, in fact, true. So, cheers. Have a good night. Have a good day. Live long and prosper. May the force be with you. 42.